Well, there's more family and friends that are here, and if I'd missed you, don't feel bad. I feel a little bit like I'm winning an Oscar with all of these thanks, and I expect the music to come on any moment and just usher me off, but I still do have a sermon to give. I just really appreciate being here. This is something. It's deeply humbling for me to be with you, and I'd like you, if you would, to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to talk about some foundational issues to our collective future before we come to the Lord's table in just a few minutes. And in 2 Samuel 7, the context is that King David was firmly established as leader and king of Israel. He had a palace that he lived in. He just had brought the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he was settled in. This is King David. But what he realized as he brought the Ark in the tent that it was housed in, this mobile tent that the ark had been housed in for centuries. David is living in a really nice palace. He's got really great furniture. He's got a really great surrounding. And he looks at the ark and he thinks, the ark, which represented the presence of God and the center of worship in Israel, was still sitting in a mobile tent, a large traveling tent. And so David calls Nathan the prophet in. And he sits with Nathan and says, Nathan, I've got it in my heart that I want to build a beautiful temple for the ark, for God. The ark wasn't what they worshiped, but the ark represented the presence of God. So he wanted a temple where they could put the ark and then all of Israel could come together to worship. And Nathan, who is the prophet, says to David, in our day and age, he would have said this, David, if you can dream it, you can do it, okay? You got it. You're the king. You're blessed of the Lord. Go ahead and do whatever is on your heart. I'm sure God will be fine. Well, that night, the Lord appears to Nathan the prophet and said, hold on. That was a great answer, but it wasn't the right answer because I have different plans. Now, we're going to look at this chapter 7 in a minute, but I see some connections with this chapter and what's happening today. First of all, though, let's give you a couple of things that aren't connections. I am not becoming king of anything today, okay? This is not me becoming king of anything, although the choir was probably fit for a coronation. I mean, that was something. All this and that, and it was beautiful. I'm not becoming a king, and I don't see things that way. You're not becoming my people, but we are coming together to become all that God wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Number two, we're not raising funds to build a new temple today. And everybody said amen?
Amen.
Amen. We got a really nice house here, okay? It's a great place. We're not going to be trying to build a temple. I'm not becoming king. However, when a pastor is appointed to a new church, everybody wants to know how this pastor might lead the church to build the temple. How is this new pastor going to lead us to help the church to grow, to help the church to expand its influence, to help the church to become all that it wants to be? We have these questions when a new pastor comes in, and I think these questions will be answered in this chapter. Let's look at some of the things that God told David, and I believe, by the way, that he's also speaking to us today. First of all, let's understand something about why a pastor is assigned to a church. Verse 8 says this, I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and I appointed you leader over my people. David was taken from a pasture. We mentioned this before, Pastor Jack, Dennis, others mentioned it. David wasn't groomed to be king. He didn't have the pedigree. He didn't have the background. He didn't have the, even maybe as some people would look at him, the giftings to be a national leader. In fact, Acts 13:22 says this. It says that God chose David to be king because, why? He was a man after God's own heart. Some of you know that, right? Let's say that together again. He was a man after God's own heart. This scripture has been key to me. This verse has been key to me all my life. I've had a strong connection with David. In fact, David is my second favorite character in the Bible. I'll study him all the time. Do you know who my first would be? No, Samson. Just kidding. It's Jesus. Yes, Jesus is my first favorite character. You're all thinking, what kind of pastor did they just give us? All my life, I've received prophetic words, and especially since I've been in ministry, about a connection that I have with David. And the interesting thing is that, like Dennis, most people don't even know what my first name is. Now, I know that some of you back here are freaking out because the pastor doesn't, it's not supposed to come back here. In fact, without contacts, I couldn't even see you all. So, hi, it's good to meet you back here. But that's not the reason I came back. I'm back here for a purpose because in this spot, right about here, in 1995, I was 26 years old. I was a youth pastor in Fresno, and I'd come back for a pastor's seminar. One of the elders at the church on the way found me. His name was Chris Stanton. He found me, and he said, Tim, he knew who I was. He said, Tim, I have a word for you. I know you're a young pastor, and you're like Timothy, but I want to tell you today, you're supposed to be a David. You're supposed to be a David, and you're going to lead God's people courageously and strongly. You're going to be a leader in the church and the kingdom. Hold on to that. Grab a hold of it. And I said, Chris, did you know that my first name was David? And his jaw hit the floor. And he said, I had no idea. Since then, it's at least every year, usually a couple of times a year, that somebody will come and make a connection with David and my life. Now, I like that because David's a really cool guy. He's a warrior. You know, someday I'd like somebody to make a really good movie about David. It's a great story. But beyond all the things that I'd love to identify myself with David, there's one thing that I'll go back to time after time after time. And that's this. It's where I most identify with David is that when David was called to be king, when he was anointed, when Samuel the prophet came and anointed him to be king, he didn't have any qualifications or pedigree. In fact, the reason that he was called to be leader was because he had a heart after God and he was a worshiper. And I got to tell you today that when I was called into ministry, I wasn't particularly gifted for it. I wasn't groomed for it. I was 18 years old and the Lord put his hand on my heart. And I'd grown up in the church watching my dad sometimes get beat up by pastoring churches. And I loved Jesus, but I wasn't interested in leading the church. I wanted to go make movies and tithe a lot of money to the church. That was my goal. And yet God put his hand on my heart and said, I'm calling you into ministry. And of course, it's a longer story that we'll tell sometime. But he didn't do it because I was going to be a great pastor or I already had the skill somehow, the skill set. He did it because I loved Jesus and I loved to worship Jesus. Now, fast forward 25, 26 years from that calling, and I've done some things in ministry. I've been reasonably effective in a few things. I've fought some battles. I've won some battles. I've lost a few battles as well. But regardless of all of those things, the fact that I've pastored churches or supervised or worked at the college, none of those things qualify me to be standing here today to be the pastor of the Church on the Way. None of them. The only thing that I really bring to the table with me is my deep desire to be a man after God's heart. That's all I've got. That's what I'm bringing you. If it's not enough, then we'll help find you another church. I got a lot of friends that are pastors. I'll call up and say, I got this great couple. They want to come to you because you're more gifted. I'm a man after God's heart. That's all I've got. So if it's not enough, I'm being facetious, I hope. But I want to tell you that's all you've got too. Because this isn't about a pastor standing up today, up on this tall pulpit, podium, platform. God calls all of us into ministry. He may not call you to be the pastor of a church or to stand up here and speak to people, but he calls every one of us as believers into ministry. And the qualification we come to the table with is that we are a man or a woman after God's heart. That's it. All the other stuff he'll give to us as we go, but we can never hold on to it and say, that's great. So something about the pastoral assignment. Let's read verse 10 as well. He says, I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. God was concerned for his people Israel, and so he called David to be their leader so that they would no longer be disturbed, so they would have a home of their own. And the reason that God asks a pastor to come to a church is never for the pastor's benefit. It's never for the pastor's benefit. It's for the church. David knew this. He's living in a palace, this gold and silver and awesome rooms and huge. And he says, something is wrong here because as a leader, I'm benefiting, but the people need a place to worship. The ark needs a place to be. And so I would like to make sure I take care of that. And Deborah and I know, we know that God didn't give this church to us. He gave us to this church. We know that. Listen, we feel like we have received a gift today. I mean, aside from the Disneyland passes, that's pretty cool. And my kids think it's pretty cool too. But aside from that, we've received a great gift. Dennis, Pastor, thank you. We do feel like we've been brought into a real grace today and relationship with this congregation. A gift not of us being leaders, but even more a gift of us being partners with what God wants to do in and through this church over the years. But more than that, we pray, and we're going to be praying regularly, that God would give us the grace to be a gift to you as we shepherd this church. That's what we want. Okay, that's something about pastoral assignment. Let's look at and understand something about how the church is built. In verse 5, and then we're going to skip to 12 and 13, the Bible says this. God tells Nathan, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one that will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I love this story. It's grace in action. And grace is simply the undeserved favor of God, that we don't earn it, that we don't climb our way up to it, that God says, I love you and I'm going to gift you just because I love you and not because of anything you've done. David wants to build God a temple to serve God and serve the people. And God says, no, I'll take care of that for you. You're not going to do it. I'll take care of that. And David responds to the Lord in a way that I feel like I want to respond to the Lord today. And in verse 18, it just says this. When David heard this, he sat down before the Lord. And he said, who am I, sovereign Lord? And what is my family that you've brought me this far? Who am I? What is my family that God's done this? I don't deserve it. I don't look around and go, yeah, that was the next rung in the ladder. I'm so deeply humbled to be here with you. And as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word, and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. I want to tell you that today God is speaking to us about the future of this house. But what's about to happen in and through the church on the way isn't about me. And by the way, it's not about you either. It's not about any of us. It's about Jesus. What Jesus is about to do here is not something we can manufacture or make happen. It is about Jesus, period. David finds out he's not going to build the temple. God says, I'm going to give you a son to do it. And yes, Solomon's son did build the temple in the next generation. But fast forward 1,000 years, and Jesus, God's son, God incarnate in the flesh, the Lord God shows up in the person of Jesus as the Messiah, also called the Son of David. And while the temple has already been built and built again, Jesus says to his disciples and says to us, listen, there's going to be a church that's going to be built, but you're not going to build it. He says, I will build my church. I will build my church, Jesus said. It is not a pastor or a leader or a king that puts the church together. I'm not here to build the church on the way, and you're not here to build the church on the way. That's God's job. He is the architect. He is the one that puts it together. And this shepherd doesn't build the church. Amen? Our structures don't build the church. Amen? our strategies, our systems, our successes don't build this church. Jesus builds the church. Period. That's good news. That's really good news. He's the architect. He has the building plans. And we're just being graciously invited into those plans and purposes. He goes, we don't come to Jesus and say, hey, do this, do this. This is what I want to add this onto the house. He comes to us and says, here's a hammer. Go nail that in. Or here's a Phillips screwdriver. Go screw that in. And to me, because I don't know the difference between a hammer and a screwdriver, he says, here's a broom. Go clean up. That's what we're doing. We're following the architect and we're following the builder. And the church on the way, it isn't about any of us. Though God is so gracious to us to partner with us about what he wants to do. By the way, if we partner with him, our future will be secure. Amen? Amen. Listen, some of us are worried. Uh-oh, what about the future of the church? What's God going to do here? We don't need to worry for a moment. As long as we are partnering with him and we're under his covering and we're connected to his presence, God will take care of us. And God will take care of you. It's not just about us corporately. If you will submit to the Lord's will and ways in your life, the Lord will take care of your life. One of my heroes that went on to be with the Lord a few years ago, Ron Mell, used to say, if you let God be in control of your whole life, he'll get you where you want to go, where he wants you to go. If you demand to take control of your own life, then you'll get where you may get where you want to go, but not where he wants you to go. How many of you would rather have the first than the second? Amen? We're serving Jesus together and letting him be in control. So we talked a little bit about a pastor's assignment, a little bit about who builds the church. Finally, let's understand something about grace. And as I do, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We've actually been talking about grace all morning. The last 20 minutes has been about grace. Grace is simply, once again, the unearned favor of God. It's his free gift. And though we understand this assignment is given by grace, and we understand his church is built by grace, as we come to the Lord's table and receive communion, it's important to understand that our salvation is secured only by grace. That's it. It's his free gift. We can't make it happen ourselves. We can't become good enough to be on God's good side. Grace is everything. The cross is what we come to. It's secured by grace as our salvation. And at our core, we're just a group of folks who love Jesus and are connected to him. Church, this is not about religion. I promise you. It's not about all of the great the things you see, the choir and the worship team and the nice seats and the suit and the tie. This is about a relationship with Jesus. It's not about the rules or checking off boxes and saying, okay, I got it all together. I got my life in order. This is about loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go on a great adventure together and become a bunch of Jesus people. Well, amen. I just had the thought that some of you already were Jesus people about 30 years ago. And we're going to do that again. It's going to look a little bit different, though. We're going to be people of the kingdom. That's what we're called to be. We're called together to be people of the kingdom. And the way that we become kingdom folks is this. The cross. Our sin kept us away from God, but God, through Jesus, took all of our sin and nailed it to the cross, canceling it out forever. He freed us from our sin. He freed us from our bondage. And the Jesus dying on the cross, taking our place in death, it gave us full life here and eternal life forever. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins and our bondages. And when he rose from the dead, the power of God that raised him from the dead is the same power that works in us if we believe in Jesus. You live and walk in that power today. I live and walk in that power today. That's what this is all about. It's the cross. It's the resurrection. It's eternal life forever, but it's not just about getting a ticket punched to go to heaven when you die. We get to go to heaven when we die as Christians. Amen? That's a good thing. But we also have an awesome assignment to live life while we're here. And we live it through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same dynamic power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us today. And we're going to take the bread that represents the body of Christ and the cup that represents the blood of Christ. And we're going to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us and even re-engage and reappropriate in our own lives that place of freedom and grace, that place of life that happened through the cross. And can I have the servants' council come forward, and we're going to distribute the bread in just a moment. As we distribute the bread's going to pass, and you're going to take a piece, and we're going to hold on to it because we together as a church are going to receive it. I thought it was the coolest thing that I was going to be able to be installed today on February 2nd, not because of the Super Bowl. But in fact, I thought, well, maybe people won't show up because of the Super Bowl. But I'm glad you're here. Because this thing doesn't start until 3:30 anyway, so don't worry about it. But the fact that in our tradition, my tradition as a pastor and your tradition at Church on the Way, the first Sunday of the month is Communion Sunday. And I thought, how appropriate for me and how humbling for me that as your pastor, brand new, the very first thing that I can do in leading you is leading you to the cross, because it's all about the cross, folks. It's all about the cross, and we're going to have an adventure for the next 20 or 25 years together. Amen? Amen. And that adventure is going to keep bringing us to the foot of the cross over and over and over and over and over and over again. We can never get far away from the foot of the cross. And that's what we're going to be doing together for a long time. Jesus died to free us from our sin and our bondage, and he lives in us so we can be ambassadors of the kingdom, helping other people to also be freed from their sin and bondage, transforming our community and our world. As the bread comes by, just take a moment, hold on to it, come before the Lord, thank him for his death on the cross for us, and as a body together, we'll receive it. Go ahead and distribute.
Come and see the glory of the Lord. Come and know the wonder of his grace. Come and see how much he cares for you. Gaze at the compassion on his face. Come and touch the nail.
It says the night that Jesus was betrayed and was going to be going to the cross the next day, that he was with his disciples celebrating the Passover. In Matthew 26:26, it says that he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And Lord, as we take this together as a body, I understand that there are some people in this room who don't know you and don't have relationship with you. I ask that right now, as we've been talking about the grace of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit, you would speak to their hearts and draw them as you've been drawing them all their life to themselves, to yourself. That they would open up their heart and their life. And that even right now, they may be holding a piece of bread in their hand, not even knowing what it's about, but right now, that you would transform and redeem them as they give their heart to you in their own life. And that as they receive this, it would be with understanding that you're a good God, that you died on the cross for our sins, that you rose again for our life, and that we get to live that life in you. We thank you for what you're doing in this body. We receive what represents your body together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's eat. The Bible says in verse 27, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. We're going to receive that in a second, servants' council, if you would come up and get ready to distribute the cup. And like I just prayed, I believe there are some people in this room who you haven't had an opportunity to meet Jesus. Maybe you've had 100 opportunities to meet him, but you haven't turned your heart over to him. And today, God wants to have relationship with you. In fact, he's wanted to have relationship with you all your life. But the reality is that from the very moment we're born as human beings, we start walking away from God. We have our back turned to God and we're walking away from him. And some of us have walked miles and miles and years and years and decades away from God. And we think that when we get ready to turn around to embrace God, we're going to have a long way to walk back. But the reality is, when you turn around to embrace God, he's standing right there. Because he's been following you all your life. And he's ready to embrace you. So as we receive the cup that represents the blood of Jesus, that he spilt for our forgiveness, that he took the place on the cross for us. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, would you receive the cup? And it's not some mystical thing that as you receive this cup, you're actually receiving the blood of Jesus inside of you, but it is a strong representation and more than just a memory, but a strong connection with the reality that Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. Let's receive the cup together. As it comes by, you can take it out of the tray and take it. Amen. voices to the Lord and praise Him. Jesus, we love You, Lord. We worship You. And thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross. Thank You for resurrection power that we get to live in. Lord, we're so grateful for Your presence here. Lord, if Your presence isn't with us, we don't want to go any farther. But it is with us. And so we embrace You, and we are excited to live in the reality of Your presence in this church and through this church. We love You so much. Would you keep your eyes closed for a moment? I want to just afford some privacy. Though once you come to Jesus, you want to tell everybody you know. The moment of coming to Jesus, we don't need right now to be looking around, but just everybody's heart focused. And if you know the Lord, be praying that those who are here that don't know the Lord would understand that the Holy Spirit is tugging on their heart and that they would make a life-altering, eternal decision right now. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you need to. The Lord wants to give you not only eternal life when you die, but He wants to make the life you're living now make sense. And that's what happens when we come to Him, when we turn from our own way and we say, Lord, I want to put You in charge. You may not know everything you need to know. You may feel like you've got a lot of questions to have answered. That's okay, because you don't have to know everything to come to Jesus. You just need to know that you're opening your heart to Him and you're saying yes to Him being in control. If you're here today and you either already said yes to Jesus in your heart today for the first time, or right now you want to do it, I want to agree with you that today is the day of salvation. Would you, I'm starting to look over on my right and your left, would you just raise your hand and look at me and I'll agree with you that today you're saying yes to Jesus? Is there anybody over here in this section? Just put your hand up. Yeah, amen. I agree with you. Yeah, back in the back, I agree with you. Amen. How about over here next to that? Yes, I agree with you. Is there anybody else back in the back that would say, back by the soundboard, yeah, okay, I agree with you right here. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. All right, hover over on the section to my left and your right. Raise your hand and look at me and say, yep, I see you all the way in the back there. I agree with you. I agree with you. Amen. Amen. Right here, these three sitting right together. I agree with you guys. Amen. And the one right behind you. Hallelujah. All right, anybody else over here on the very far, your very far right? Yep, right there, sir. I see you. I agree with you. Jesus is coming into your heart. Right now, He wants to transform you and give you a new life. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Thank you. All right, right here behind the camera, I see that too. Hallelujah. Jesus, for all of these that just said yes to You and for all in the first service, we thank You for a transformed life that can start right now. It's not going to start later. They don't have to go through years of classes. Lord, right now You've come and brought new life and eternal life to this house, to this place, and we thank You for it. Jesus, we're grateful for Your life in us. Continue to live it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you said yes to Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you in the strongest way possible. In a minute after Dan dismisses us, we're going to have some of the servant council people up here at the front, and I would love for you to come and pray with somebody and start your life with Jesus today. If you don't happen to come up on the way out, the ushers have packets and you can grab one and read it. But I'm telling you, salvation is more than just information. It's transformation. And I'm telling